Sometimes we need to own up to an uncomfortable truth. A little while ago, I had to add a few people as listed drivers on our car insurance. So I called our insurer and they asked lots of questions about this new driver. Questions like, how long have they held a driver's license for? How old were they when they first got a license? And these questions were going okay until they asked, how many demerit points does this driver have? And so I had to ask this person, who shall remain nameless, but they are a blood relative, someone who should know better, how many times have you been caught breaking the rules? And this person had to own up to the truth, and the number was substantially higher than zero. It was awkward and embarrassing for this person to own up to the truth that maybe they don't see the colour red as well as they used to. And even though it meant that the premium was a little bit higher, it was good. It was good for them to tell the truth, not only because it was the right thing to do, but if we had lied and then needed to make a claim, well, we would have got nothing. The truth would have found us out. Today is a day for us to be honest with ourselves. Good Friday is a day to reflect. To reflect honestly on ourselves before God. And it may be uncomfortable to do this. But unlike with my insurer, there is good news, because God has already paid all the cost. 800 years before the time of Jesus, God spoke to a prophet named Isaiah. God gave some messages to Isaiah in a time of great anxiety and uncertainty. There was trouble brewing in international politics. New superpowers were on the rise. They were beginning to encroach on Israel and Judah's border. In fact, during Isaiah's lifetime, the Assyrian Empire conquered the northern kingdom, which was called Israel, and they invaded the southern kingdom and even got to besieging the capital city. It was a time of great uncertainty and anxiety. God's message through Isaiah was that these military defeats weren't just the ebb and flow of history. This isn't just how life happens to go. God had sent these armies and was going to send more because of his people's sin. They had become arrogant and entitled. They had no concern for the poor, powerless, and vulnerable. And this was symptomatic of a deeper issue. The reason they were arrogant and didn't care for the little people was because they turned their back on God. They'd stopped following and worshipping the God of the Bible and had started worshipping idols, made up gods. And in the section of Isaiah's message Cliff just read for us, it talks about this reality. This reality that not only did those people almost 3,000 years ago need to face, but it's a reality we all need to face. The reality we need to face is we haven't lived up to our own standards, let alone God's. And we hear this in Isaiah 53. This chapter shows us our need before God. You've got the words of the passage in the notice sheet. And I've put some key words, these words which show us the reality of our situation and our need, I've put them in bold. So have a look at sentence number 5, which says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Transgression, iniquity, they're not words we use every day. You don't tell your kids, oh, you've really transgressed today. We haven't heard on the media, oh, there was deep iniquity happening and that's why someone went to court. No, what do they mean? Transgression is the idea of crossing the line, breaking the law. But it's not just the idea of the kind of things that get you demerit points. Transgression is deeper than not paying attention to your speedo and finding yourself a few Ks over. Transgression is rebellion. It's treason. It's ignoring or trying to overthrow legitimate authority. What's the transgression the Bible's talking about? It's ignoring the authority of God. It's living as if I'm in charge. I can do whatever I want, and I'm not worried about what God or anyone says. Now, you might be thinking, rebellion? Real? That sounds a bit extreme. I mean, yes, I may not care about God all that much, but I'm a pretty good person. I do my best to follow the golden rule, doing unto others and all that. I want to tell you about a really good sailor. This person was a terrific sailor. They were really good at climbing the rigging and trimming the sails. When they were on watch, they never had a nap. They kept their eye peeled to the telescope. They were even humble enough to put their all into deck scrubbing duty. They were a really good sailor, the kind of person any captain would want on their crew. But if you zoom out from this sailor and look up the mast, there's more to the story. Because the flag this sailor was sailing under was the Jolly Roger. They were a pirate. All those great sailing skills and the diligent hard work, all of that was being used, not being used, under the authority of the king or queen, but under their own authority to get whatever they could out of life. Now, the Bible tells us it doesn't matter how good you think you are, how diligent, how skillful. The real issue is, who are you serving? And this word transgression says that by nature, you and I are like this good sailor. The real issue isn't how nice we might be, how skilled or devoted we might be. The real issue is what flag we're flying. Are you under God's flag or your own? Have you rejected God and his loving authority? Iniquity expands on this. It points out that when we ignore God and reject him and his ways and fly under our own flag, we end up doing things which bring guilt and shame. Those words that were said in anger, but now they're out and you can't swallow them. That time when one of your mates cracked a joke at someone else's expense, and not only was it not funny, it was cruel, but you didn't call him out. And you keep adding to the list. And those things we regret, they're just the tip of the iceberg. Because we're not just talking, iniquity is not just talking about our perception of guilt or our feeling of shame, but we're talking about our guilt before a holy God. Transgression, iniquity. Isaiah continues to sketch a picture of our problem in the next sentence. In sentence number 6, he says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way." I've not had much to do with sheep in my life, but I have had a bit to do with cattle. As a kid, my family would often move our cattle between paddocks, actually between farms, but we didn't load them up on a truck. We walked them along the road. It was a bit ironic to call it droving, because droving surely would involve driving a truck. But anyway, we drove them along the road. Now, where we lived was right on the edge of town, and that meant as we moved the cattle between properties, we went past lots of people with their 1 acre, 2 acre blocks, houses with lovely gardens and no fences. Now, we knew where we wanted the cattle to go. There was a very simple plan. Okay, cows, you're going to walk very calmly and quietly along the side of the road, and you can have a little bit of the long grass that's on the side. But they had their own idea, didn't they? They weren't meant to go cantering through Mrs. Freeman's flowers. But you can guess how astray things often went. And I don't know how many letters of apology or boxes of chocolates my parents had to send over the years. The picture is, in transgression, in iniquity, we're like sheep or cattle going wherever we want, wreaking destruction, sometimes walking straight on into busy traffic ourselves. We damage others and we're a danger to ourselves. Another word the Bible uses for this is sin. And sin, going astray, wasn't just a problem for God's people 800 years before Jesus. It's a problem for everyone. Another part of the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And when we're honest with ourselves, we know this is true. We've fallen short of our own standards, let alone God's. The reason we don't say anything when we hear someone say something cruel is because we love their approval more than we love truth and the glory of God. The reason we get angry and say things we regret is because we love being right more than we care for the person in front of us who is precious to God. We love these lesser things instead of loving God, and that's the heart of sin. And the problem is serious because the Bible also says, for the wages of sin is death. What we earn, what we deserve, what we're owed for our sin, for our rejection and rebellion against God is death. But there's good news. And 800 years before Jesus, Isaiah spoke about a servant, someone God would send, someone who would suffer greatly, and people would look at the suffering and assume he'd done something to deserve it. Have a read from sentence 3. He, the servant, was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised. And we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. As Jesus was hanging on a cross, the religious leaders took their time to rub it in, to mock him, to show they knew he was getting what he deserved. This is what we heard earlier from Mark's record of the crucifixion. In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe. Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. What these leaders were doing was fair enough. That this bloke was in agony, struggling to breathe, surely that's proof enough that God isn't on his side. Why would God allow a good person, more than a good person, his chosen king, because that's what Jesus had claimed to be, God's chosen king. It makes no sense that God would abandon his king in his hour of need. But at midday through to 3 p.m. on that Friday, that's what seemed to have happened. So clearly, to anyone with eyes to see, the obvious answer is Jesus is getting what he deserved. He'd lied about himself, he'd lied about God, and so he was considered punished by God. But Isaiah's message, 800 years before this happened, is that something different was happening. Because this servant went willingly to the cross. Sentence 7 says, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. And we heard that in Mark's record. Jesus didn't protest. He didn't say anything in his defense. He did not open his mouth. Because, just as Isaiah said, this servant's death was for us. If you have a look at the passage in your bulletin, we see this over and over again. I've highlighted all the times it says it in red. Starting at sentence 4, it says, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Sentence 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds we are healed. Sentence 6, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Over and over again it says the suffering was for us. He was crushed for us. Our punishment was on him. It was laid on him. We heard before, the wages of sin is death. On the cross, as Jesus died, he was receiving that wage. He was dying the death that sinners deserve to die, that you and I deserve to die. As Jesus dies, a great swap is happening. Look at sentence number 5 again. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. This is what makes Good Friday good. This is the swap. Jesus is crushed so his people might live. Jesus takes our sin and receives in his body the death we deserve, and his people get peace with God. Jesus is pierced for my transgression. Jesus is crushed for our iniquity. Jesus took on punishment to bring peace. Jesus was wounded for our sin, and he did this so you don't have to suffer or be pierced or be crushed or punished or wounded. This is why it's good to face the facts. To recognize your need, my need, the reality and the problem of our sin. It might be uncomfortable. We like to think of ourselves as good people. And when we stuff up, we make excuses for ourselves. Oh, if only you understood what I've been through. Or we find someone else to blame. But the truth is, we have gone astray, willingly turned away from God and gone our own way. But the good news of Good Friday is Jesus willingly, he didn't protest or object, he willingly went to the cross for our transgression, for our sin. And he did this so we no longer need to carry the weight of our sin, and instead we can have peace with God. Maybe this is new for you. Maybe you haven't faced up to the facts before, and you haven't found peace with God through Jesus. If this is you, then there's two things I invite you to do. The first is, come again on Sunday. Join us. We're going to listen to the last few sentences of this chapter in Isaiah, which I hadn't actually seen this until recently. In this chapter, written 800 years before Jesus, not only was his death explained, but also his resurrection. So I'd love you to come back and find out more. But also, the best way to understand Jesus is to read a biography of his life. Over at the welcome desk, either on the desk or in the box beside it, we've got copies of one of the Gospels, so grab them. One of the biographies of Jesus, which is found in the Bible. And look, it's a long weekend, probably because of the lockdown. You've cancelled all your plans to do anything fun, so what else are you going to do? Well, why don't you read a biography of Jesus? It's not going to take you that long to read, and discover who Jesus is and who you are too. I'm going to pray now, and as I pray, I'm going to ask God to help us to reflect on this truth. And I'm going to thank God for providing the way for us to have peace with him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your servant Jesus, who willingly went to the cross and faced death. Not because he was abandoned by you, not because he deserved to, but he did it to bring forgiveness and peace. Please help us to own up to the truth, to recognize we have sinned, we've rebelled against you and lived for ourselves. Help us to know the depth of our rebellion, but even more so, the heights of your forgiveness. Help us to see that Jesus died as a swap, to substitute himself for us, that we might be forgiven and have peace with you. Amen.